Rosalind did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In healthcare, across one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, qualified professionals are being turned away from specialist training, while wards rely on expensive agency staff to fill the same roles. Training centres with empty places and eager applicants sit idle because Treasury spending limits treat workforce development as unaffordable.
I grew up in King's Cross back when it was still rough around the edges, daughter of a Jamaican bus driver and an Irish teaching assistant. The gentrification came later, pushing families like mine further out while the coffee shops moved in. But I always knew I wanted to be a nurse. I watched my nan get incredible care at the Royal Free when she was dying, saw how the nurses held our family together during those last weeks. That is when I decided this is what I want to give back. I got my nursing degree from City University London in 2018. Could not afford to stay in London on a student nurse's salary, so I ended up in a cramped house share in Finsbury Park, cycling to work because the tube would eat half my wages. But I was doing what I loved, working on the wards, learning every day. I thought the next step would be straightforward. Get some experience, apply for specialist training, build the career I had planned since I was 19. In 2022, I applied for a specialist training place in mental health nursing through Health Education England. Mental health services in North London were stretched beyond breaking point, and I could see the difference I wanted to make. I scored high on all the assessments, did well in the interviews. I was ready. Then came the call. The programme had been temporarily suspended due to budget constraints from NHS England. The training coordinator sounded apologetic but firm. "There is no funding," she said. "We have had to make difficult choices." I accepted it. It sounded reasonable. Everyone was having to make difficult choices. The pandemic had stretched everything thin and budgets were tight across the board. I would try again next year. 6 months later, I applied for emergency nursing training instead. Different specialism, same goal, become the best nurse I could be. This time, it was the North Central London Training Hub who delivered the news. Treasury spending limits had reduced their allocation by 40%. "We simply cannot afford to run the full programme," the programme manager explained. "There is no funding for the places we had planned." Again, I nodded. It made sense. Money was tight. Everyone understood that. I took extra shifts at Whittington Hospital to save money while I waited for the next round of applications. That is when I started to notice something that did not fit the story I had been told. The wards were constantly short-staffed, but instead of permanent nurses like me, they were bringing in agency staff who earned double my rate for doing exactly the same work. When I asked the ward manager about this, she explained that hiring permanent staff requires long-term budget commitments that we simply cannot make under current Treasury guidance. But paying agencies twice as much for temporary cover somehow fitted within the budget. The contradiction was right there in front of me, but I still accepted the logic. Budgets are complex. There must be different pots of money, different rules for different types of spending. Someone in Westminster understood the bigger picture better than I did. Then I discovered something that changed how I understood the whole system. I found out that the training centre in Camden, the one that had turned me away twice, had 200 unfilled places for the September 2023 intake. Fully equipped simulation labs sitting empty 3 days a week. Modern equipment, qualified trainers, everything you would need to train nurses who could fill the gaps on every ward I had ever worked. I went to see it for myself, asked for a tour, pretended I was considering a career change into training. The program coordinator walked me through empty classrooms, past unused equipment worth hundreds of thousands of pounds. "We have eager applicants," he told me. "We have available trainers. But Health Education England's capped budget means we can only fill 60% of available spots." I stood in that empty training room and finally understood what "there is no funding" actually meant. The people existed. I was one of them, along with dozens of others who had been turned away. The trainers existed. The program coordinator had just told me so. The equipment existed. I was looking at it. the need existed. Every ward I had ever worked was desperate for trained staff. What exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints the pound notes told me it could not find enough of them to connect the people who wanted to train with the places that sat empty. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. HM Treasury made a choice to limit Health Education England's budget, knowing that training places would sit empty while wards stayed understaffed. NHS England made a choice to suspend programmes rather than challenge those limits. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit for it was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here, still working, still watching. I understand now that what happened to me is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The resources were never missing. The political will to deploy them was.
What Rosalind experienced has a name. Impossible expectations. This technique demands a guarantee of zero waste or perfect outcomes before committing a single pound to public services, a standard never applied to tax cuts or bank bailouts. Think of a company that refuses to hire new workers until they can prove those workers will never make a mistake, never need training, never cost the company a penny it would not have spent anyway. No rational business operates this way because growth requires investment. And investment involves risk. But when Rosalind sought NHS training, she encountered exactly this logic. Every door that closed cited budget constraints, but the real barrier was the impossible expectation that workforce development should guarantee perfect returns before a pound was spent. Meanwhile, the same Treasury that could not find money for training places approved billions for bank bailouts without demanding proof of perfect outcomes. The objection Rosalind heard was familiar. The NHS is a bottomless pit. We cannot keep throwing money at it. But no service is bottomless. NHS costs are measurable, outcomes are trackable, and the UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. The bottomless pit framing sets an impossible standard where no evidence of need is ever sufficient. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Islington South and Finsbury ranks 139 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in deprivation decile 3. English indices of deprivation 20 to 25 MHCLG. The constituency has 1,807 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales, and received £154.8 million in total grants, 360 giving grant nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.